What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Greetings, good people of the planet Earth.
I was prepared for a doki doki.
You were. Yes, I'm throwing it out there. I'm throwing you off a little bit.
No. Much like you, I'm trying to throw you off. I sat down. You're like, you're not in the shirt and tie.
No.
And I said, you know what? I don't feel like it.
Yeah, and you just do what you want.
I just get to do it. I got three things to film in here today, back to back to back. I don't want to wear a fucking shirt and tie. I'm not going to wear it. Right? Cool, Greg? Right.
You're an entrepreneur. You're a small business owner. Why not exercise the power that enables you?
I've just declared that it's time to wear the classic kind of funny shirts. This classic kind of funny garbage truck on fire shirt from circa 2015.
You're kind of a kind of funny care bear today. I like it.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that.
I like the shirt a lot. I got that Tacoma shirt on. I like that. It's real shiny.
Right.
Fulbright people.
We're ready to go.
We're ready to do it. I think that shirt-wise, we are prepared.
If you don't mind, Kind of Funny Kevin from the kindoffunny.com press pool. Something's going on. We have Kind of Funny Kevin from the press pool of Kind of Funny.
He's walking over.
Kevin Coelho, go ahead.
What's the real reason you're not wearing your button down?
Just did not feel like it. I think I look really good. I just did the morning show. I thought I looked really good in this outfit, and I was like, you know what?
Well, I thought you were building like a...
I've broken from it before.
That's crazy. Yes. I don't like it.
Oh, you don't like what? The breaking routine?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just because it's change?
Yeah, but like, you know, I feel like much like me wearing the suit every time I'm hosting the morning show, like it's for a reason, you know?
At that point, I've already broken the regimen, so what does it matter?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, all bets are off. You never know what I'm going to wear here.
Sometimes change can be good, Kevin. We've gotten so used to change being bad lately. We forget long ago there was a bright and shining day when change seemed like
a great
possibility.
That's what they said when everyone was like, oh, don't worry, I'll descale the Keurig. And now look at us.
Okay.
That's
a good point. I have to bring my own coffee from home.
Yeah, Jared exactly.
Bought a gigantic bottle of dark roast iced coffee.
I got to have my coffee. I got my 48 ounces for the morning. That ought to keep me going until, I don't know.
I hope so.
I'm on Game Over Greggy today.
Right.
And I think I'm going to have to get another one before
Holy
then.
Holy shit.
Because I'm already
coffee, Jared. About, Jared, I worry. And that's Kevin saying.
We have to be like, no.
Kevin couldn't breathe today and didn't go to the doctor.
No, and why is he here? Why is Kevin here?
He's unstoppable. Kevin, can you turn on the fan, open some windows? It's going to get hot in here.
If you didn't know,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of business platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then... watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, like so many of you are right now, thank you. Remember, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the entire record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
And indeed, perhaps the universe. Could they be listening on the space station right now?
I think they get the internet up there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's beamed up there somehow.
It'd be pretty cool if they were listening to it. Do you think you could get Kind of Funny, like, listened to on the space station?
I doubt it. They seem really smart, and they don't think they like the nerdy stuff we like. Because, remember that one twin that was up there forever? I was doing some lobs at him, some hails of like, hey, we should do something, and I never got anything.
But we know we got some best friends in, like, the NASA JPL community and stuff like that.
We got
folks writing in a lot. Look at that Molly Bender.
If you are currently involved with NASA, and you know if they are or are not listening to Kind of Funny Games Daily or any other Kind of Funny product on the space station, just let us know.
Yeah.
That's all we want to know.
I think that'd be rad.
Housekeeping for you. Next Monday, the 16th, is Amazon Prime Day. If you haven't already heard, we won't be doing the Kind of Funny Morning Show or Kind of Funny Games Daily because we're partnering with Amazon that day to do like a QVC thing here where we're going to show you all the cool goodies and play video games and hang out, basically. Basically, we just tricked them into letting us stream a bunch of stuff. That's cool. And show products and show cool things and play games. It'll be noon to 4 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/AmazonGames. It'll be hosted here, of course, on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames as well. And then today's sponsor is Brooklinen. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 8 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Cool Greg. Number one, Jared. Monster Hunter concerns have hurt Capcom stock. This is James Batchelor over at gamesindustry.biz.
Uh-oh.
He writes... Capcom stock price took a hit yesterday, dropping almost 13% after a report warned of diminishing sales for Monster Hunter World. The Bank of America Merrill Lynch downgraded Capcom's overall rating to underperform, having previously been set at neutral, according to the Financial Times, spotted by Variety. It also predicted, quote, significant risk of sales decline, end quote, over the next few months. Quote, although cumulative sales volume is growing steadily. We get the impression the popularity of Monster Hunter is dying down 6 months after its release, end quote, the report said. The bank's concerns stem from the fact that while Monster Hunter World enjoyed a strong debut when it launched on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 back in January, it has since lost momentum, particularly over the last few weeks. Drop-off in sales is to be expected months after a game's launch, but it appears the bank's analysts were hoping for a slower decline, partially due to the fact that Monster Hunter World is designed to be a longer tail title. Capcom has announced a PC version will be released on August 9th, but it seems this isn't enough to reassure investors. The FT reports the publisher's share target price dropped from approximately $25.19 to $20.71 over the course of yesterday. Of course, it's worth pointing out that in March, Monster Hunter World, 3 months on the market, had hit 7.5 million units sold, making it Capcom's best-selling game ever.
It is time, Greg Miller, for me to go on the record about something I've kind of been hinting around for a while here. The video games market may not be large enough to support multiple AAA long-tail games-as-a-service titles at the same time. Everybody is eager to fund that because investors, many of whom, frankly, don't particularly care about the nuances of video games industry, but just want to invest their money in a place where they're going to reliably get more money back.
And
that makes sense. That's not insidious of them
at all. Of course, that's how investing works.
Yeah, it's how investing works. But investors are right now, I think, being sold a bill of sale that, hey, there's this tremendous marketplace for games as a service games, that they're more cost efficient than other AAA titles, that there's more possibility of long-term revenue on them. That is true. But you can't have too many of them at once.
Right.
I think they've looked at the mobile marketplace, which, by the way, has its own too many or once problems, which are, I think, being kind of glossed over by people selling ideas to investors right now.
Yeah.
And even more in the AAA space, that isn't true. We're all like, well, we got to leave single player behind, do this, do that. You can't. I think single player is going to hit a surge eventually just because it's something different and it's going to be reliable. It's going to mean less return, but it's going to be a more reliable return for a bit just because the marketplace is less crowded. I think this is an extension of that reality. It's a great game that deserves to succeed. It's a successful game that sold ridiculously well, and it's still being punished because unrealistic expectations are being set.
Well, I think they've seen so many people strike gold in that, right? And I think for a while, it was not believable, but we saw a lot of tentpole AAA games as services stick around and make it work. Where it was, guess what? Here's, you know, there's Siege, there's For Honor, there's Destiny, there's the next big one, Division. Where it was that thing where everything ebbed and flowed, and you had this line for each one that was your community that stuck with it no matter what and cared a lot. But then it would be cool. There's the giant drop for Destiny, and everybody's back in.
Yep.
And I feel Destiny 2 has been the canary in the coal mine of, like, that's not how it is this time around. That worked for Destiny 1, where you'd make out something big and then everybody would come back. Where Destiny 2, granted, has struggled and has just announced, right, within the last few months that, hey, our next big patch is the one you'll actually want that'll have the feedback from the launch. Sure, but it still seems like we are way too fractured now.
We are. We are fractured, and it's a mathematical problem. There are, what, maybe a little over 100 million consoles out there right now that are current generation, roughly. That's my guess.
Sure. Well, PlayStation's over 70, and you figure Xbox is somewhere behind then, and then Switch is coming on strong. And
so we got those out there, plus PCs feeding into that.
Sure.
And even in an ecosystem that large, games as a service demand literally hundreds of hours from their players.
Somebody
that
popped up on our subreddit and was like, hey, is anybody, and this is an aside, but it's in the thing, is anybody playing DC Universe Online? I'd love to get back into it. And I popped in. I was just like, man, I would love to do that. But the last time I popped in, I looked at how I had no idea what was going on. I was so far out of the community. I didn't know. I was like, this would be a week of trying to get my feet back into this and understand the basics of where I'm at to figure out where I want to go. I'm like, not for me, got to go.
And that means that even with an audience at large, they're generally going to be locked into one game as a service at a time. And then they're going to switch to other things as palate cleansers. They're going to go play their God of War for a while. They're going to go, you know. And that means you've got a 100 and some million user base to divide up among AAA titles, and everybody wants to sell 20 million copies and keep people playing for 2 years. That doesn't add up to a marketplace where everything in development right now can succeed.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, Kevin was walking around today pounding his chest, saying that he was right about all this. Because, of course, he had been predicting that we would play Monster Hunter really hard, the next big thing would come and we would never go back. And mm-hmm. my argument was always, no, we'll go back. We're going to get back to it at some point. But now, as we are so far removed, the office is obsessed with Fortnite. I can't wait for the Division 2, mm-hmm. Let alone all the single-player games that are coming out in the fall that we're stoked for. It is that question of, for Monster Hunter, I wonder what they need to do to get me back to caring, to be like, oh, we got to go play this. Because it is, they've put new monsters in. They've put new things in there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, great. That just doesn't get me super motivated to jump back in. I love the game. I recommend it to everybody who wants to go play with friends. Like, it was fantastic. I put 130 hours in. It's one of my games of the year so far. But I don't know what you have to come out and say as Capcom to say, hey, everybody, get motivated to come back.
This looks like a recipe for a shakeup to me, and it scares me. Yeah. It really does. Because the industry, in some sense, needs to be shaken up about certain things right now. But I love the console market, want to see it do well. And I think that right now the economic pattern that it's so viciously pursuing is going to lead to some pretty bad results for a lot of investors and therefore a lot of developers.
Jared, you rubbed single player into this, talking about, you know, obviously you've got to wear palate cleansers, but then like how that balances out. And is that a more predictable market in terms mm-hmm. of a return on investment? I want to pull in a question we have from Billy the Door. Billy wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, hiya, what's your take on Amy Hennig's thoughts on how single-player games are priced? She said, quote, God bless Sony for supporting large single-player games because they're terrifying to make. They're very expensive, and it doesn't suit the model of having a massive open world or hours and hours of gameplay or running a live service, which is what everybody is shooting for these days, end quote. Do you think the solution to financing single-player games is to raise their price, implement subscription models, or do single-player games need to change or become a thing of the past? Or some of the thing I didn't list. Thanks, Billy the Door.
I think they've already changed to become a thing of the present, because I think of a lot of what we think of as higher-end indie games already fall into that changed requirement spectrum. Mm. They said, okay, how do we make this narrative experience happen without spending as much money? And they found a kind of a magic bullet on that. It's not guaranteed success, but they have a good idea of how to budget these things so that they have a reasonable chance of success.
Sure.
At the AAA level, though, I honestly am a fan of charging more for these games and just saying, look, put up or shut up, buyers. You want single-player games? This is what it costs to make them.
Mm.
I really think that's about the only way to go at the high end of the market now, is just to look your audience in the eye and say, this is really good and it's worth paying for. It's kind of what, I mean, Nintendo finds ways to cut corners. You look at something like Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, and they're building around less powerful hardware. Their art assets, while beautiful, are designed to be simpler.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting, you know. So there are cheats you can do on that end to keep certain parts of cost down. But at one point or another, they've got to say to us, how valuable is this to you?
Do you think it goes the other way, though, of shorten? Like, I would think of something like Hellblade, right? Setsuna's Sacrifice. That was a game that was a small team, and not saying they didn't invest a lot of time in it and a lot of work, but it was a smaller investment all around, and they found a big reward with that, right? And then, I mean, now an acquisition by Microsoft.
Hellblade, Ori, Cuphead, on and on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game after game that's followed that pattern. And that's what I kind of meant by the upper-end indie, maybe the new...
Triple I, have you heard this?
Yeah, Triple I, which may be the new AA of the marketplace. I mean, maybe that gap is finally getting filled again by this. And I think single-player experiences are largely going to move into that area. It's just not sexy trying to make the pitch to people, to money men that don't particularly know the market. It's hard to make that argument right now. Maybe in 2 years it'll be easier,
when we're littered with all these games and services that didn't take off,
and just be like, yeah, look, you could risk your money on that and make 20 times what more, but if you go with us, we're gonna double your money.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting argument.
Yeah, I want to see people explore, you know, pricing, and I feel digital opens that up, obviously. But it'll be the idea that, yeah, getting over the hump that this PlayStation 4 game is $29.99, and that doesn't make it less of a game. It just means that it's being priced appropriately for what it is.
I love to come on here and talk about how I dream about making a game, and I've kind of got it narrowed down to three now that are all feasible. Sure. They're all very different models. But two of those three games, I figured out that at what I would expect to sell, I'd have to charge. They'd be single-player experiences.
Yeah.
They'd be developed by a tiny team, probably me and a part-time artist.
Yeah.
And I would have to charge between $15 and $20 to have a shot of ever making my money back.
Sure.
That's weird to think about, because it's a lot to ask of people.
Yeah.
But I think that's what would have to happen.
I think the majority of the majority of hardcore gamers, the people who would watch this or listen to a podcast or read Waypoint, I think they understand that, though, right? I don't feel... Yeah, you're not going to get Poe, my best friend back home who only buys Assassin's Creed, to come in and be like, oh yeah, I'll buy this. What, this, the graphics are simple. What is this? It's super short. He's not going to understand that relationship, right? But when you're forecasting, I assume, for these games, you're not forecasting breaking through the mainstream and getting...
No, you're not. But you do sit there and still go, how much does it cost to make? How much does it cost to make the next thing? Mm-hmm. How many copies do I have to sell? How do I factor in things like Steam sales and how that impacts profit, the sharing, the marketing budgets? And you're still looking at having to sell a pretty large number of copies to break even. And even at those price points, it's pretty exceptional. I mean, think about this. Like, you look at some of the, like, Stardew Valley that took years to make, or Undertale that took years to make. If you're going to pay a full-time developer, a part-time artist, a marketing budget, and what you, the minimum you need to work from your home to do this, and you have a five-year development cycle, you're talking about $500,000 in revenue over 5 years just to build the thing. Yeah, yeah. That's $500,000 in, not profit, but you know, you've got, that means you got to make about $700,000 to get your Steam money back. Yeah. I mean, it's a huge amount of money when you start putting it together. Whereupon an iOS game, you can make a lot cheaper, but the odds of you ever making money on it, even if it's good, are even more risky because no one may ever find it.
Yeah.
It's a, independent developers, I salute you.
Yeah, no. Thank God you people are out there doing it. Number two, what's up with NPCs in The Last of Us Part Two? Eric Sams over at BuzzFeed sat down and interviewed Neil Druckmann and asked, basically, hey, what's going on with an NPC? Will Ellie's journey be her all by herself? Neil says, well, so Ellie used to be an NPC, but she's a protagonist in this story. So the player is controlling Ellie. It's safe to say, with the game that we made in the past, that there will be some NPC with you in this story, even though we're not showing the NPC in this demo. And our general approach is to say, again, how do we treat them like people? How do we get them to behave honestly as those people? How do we give them interesting characteristics so that they can navigate the world, make meaningful actions, and surprise you in the way people do?
Yeah.
I don't think it's groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting dance around it of who Ellie's companion would be. Is this the same NPC with you the entire time? Or is it going to be you cycle out, you do long stretches by yourself, you find somebody else, they come in and work with you?
Yeah.
I still can't wait to find out, and I hope I don't find out till the controller's in my hand with the final version, what Joel's deal is in this
game. I was going to ask you, where are you on Joel Watch 2019?
I mean, I would have told you leading up to the E3 demo, right, that I would have had good money on him maybe being dead by the onset of the game, right? Because I still thought that first trailer where she's playing the guitar and he comes in, but we never see him really, you know what I mean? Where he's like a shadowy figure, where I still thought that could easily be a conversation in her head, right? Meanwhile, going through, and what is her motivation? And honestly, it still could be. You know what I mean? We get the trailer or the gameplay demo from E3 that is, you know, her kissing a girl she has feelings for, and then wearing the woman's bracelet as she goes out and kills all these people. Mm-hmm. I still think, Neil's talked about this being like, whereas Last of Us was love, this is hatred. Last of Us Part Two is hatred, right? And it's Ellie's story. I still think it could be that they have a nice community set up there, right? And this, like, a roving camp or a roaming squad from a camp they don't even know about, really, comes in one night, maybe after that party, right? And just fucking obliterates people. And it is, we see Joel die, we see the girl,
I've forgotten her name as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's too new. We see her die. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. You can toss that in there for us. And then we see Ellie move out from that. But even then, it would have to be, if I'm a betting man, based on what we know right there, right, is that it's not that night, because we have to get that bracelet exchange at some point and have a really tender feelings for this woman. I think what will happen is the game starts, we're in this community, we're doing stuff, we're venturing out, learning our new mechanics, coming back with things we've done. We see a few clickers or whatever, have to deal with them. Eventually, camp is attacked, Joel is killed in front of us or dies in our arms, right? We see the other woman get kidnapped. She's yanked, right? And it's alluded to where they're going with her. And so it's Ellie's mission to avenge the death of Joel and head out and get this woman back.
What if it's the other way around? This is something I've wondered about. Again, speculative.
Yeah, I love speculating.
What if this is a story about Joel? I mean, I know this is Ellie's story.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll never even control him. But one of the strengths of The Last of Us was it forced us to do things as Joel that we didn't necessarily want to do. There was a lot of controversy in the end around that. What if this is a game that forces us to slowly regret that Joel ever spared Ellie? And that this is a game about Joel coming to regret that he ever spared Ellie? Mm. What if Joel's alive through the whole game? What if Joel is our antagonist? And what if we as a player are playing Ellie and agree with Joel?
Well, because I've wondered about that. The other big thing is I still stand both the E3 prediction that I think there's time jumps in this, right? And I think we're going back and I think we are playing as Ellie's mom. And when I forget who it was. Oh, it was on. It was when we did our, you can clash this now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. When we did the stage presentation at GameSpot, on GameSpot stage with Easy Allies. Where we went up there and Huber and Jones were talking to us about it. And one of them, I think it was Huber, was like, well, maybe it was Jones, whatever. One of the easy allies, one of the allies brought up the fact of, well, what if in that time jump it's revealed that Joel killed Ellie's mom?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, fuck, that's really good. That's really, really good. And so, yeah, because Joel said he did bad things and he wasn't a good person.
I could see this game ending with Joel and Kelly or Joel and Ellie killing one another. I like the idea because we were forced in that direction before that they could.
Sure.
I have a feeling we're not going to like Ellie very much in this game.
Really?
Everything about this that they've showed us, I don't like. Mm. Like, this is a game that is obviously designed to make us feel uncomfortable and on edge. And I'm not sure how much we're going to sympathize with Ellie by the time this thing's over with, because that's not the thrust they're taking in presenting this game to us. This is a game about savagery and cruelty and horror. And I think they've given very little reason for us to believe that Ellie is anything but saturated in that. I wonder if this is a game about...
There's no redemption for them.
Again, marketing and what you get in the final product can often be very disparate.
Sure.
But if it's congruent with the marketing, I wonder if this is a game about us ultimately sympathizing with but hating everybody.
Wow.
I really wonder if that's where they're going.
Well, there's an upper. Number three on the Roper Report. Oh, my God. We're getting so many Amazon boxes. All the things for this Amazon stream on Monday are arriving.
You open one of them, Bezos just pops out.
Hello! No! Jeez, give us your Twitch money. Number three. Fortnite Season 5 starts tomorrow, so you need to get ready for the patch and some downtime. I'm stealing from Steve Watts over at GameSpot, who had this paragraph. According to a tweet from Epic Games, the server downtime for Fortnite will begin tomorrow, July 12th, at 4 a.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. GMT. In a linked Reddit thread, the team also notes that this patch will be larger than normal and recommends checking to make sure your auto-update settings are on. Plus, be prepared for possible slow download speeds and save any content you want from your existing replays. So just a heads up, Fortnite Season 5 starts tomorrow. We're all very excited. We're doing a stream here. Me, Nick, Kevin, and probably Andy. We didn't call him after the thing. To play Fortnite Season 5 tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
You're going to download those updates early then. Because it's going to be a big.
Here's my thing. I don't know if the Switch has auto updates. You know what I mean?
I don't know either. I haven't
tinkered around with it. I'll look into it and do it. But if not, then yeah. First thing I do when I wake up, start it at home.
Greg, before we move to the next item of the Roper Report, I'm putting the cap on the coffee.
You get the jitters?
I got the jitters.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. There's about 6 ounces of coffee left in this
foyer. Don't push it. Do you want a water?
I might need a water.
We need a water, Cool Greg. Jared's going to die.
I need a water.
Jared's heart's palpitating.
You may witness death on camera here. My head.
You're just going to vibrate like the Flash and just dissipate?
No, it's just going to grow like chia, like right out of my hair, like right there. Just going to,
I'm excited for Fortnite. I can't wait to see what it's all about.
Yay.
Number four. PlayStation's revealed the top downloads for June on the PlayStation Store. Interesting shake. I think interesting over on PlayStation 4 side. PlayStation 4, number one download, Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm not surprised it's in the list. It's always in the list, but I thought, like, there's been more recent games that have come out.
Red Dead. Time to get ready for Red Dead.
Apparently.
There's no Red Dead to play right now except original Red Dead, so we'll do the next best thing.
Yeah.
We'll play GTA 5.
Number one, GTA 5. Number two, FIFA 18. Number three, God of War. Number four, The Last of Us Remastered. Number five, Detroit Become Human. I thought that would have, even though it's been out, obviously, I thought that would have charted maybe a little higher. Number six, Mortal Kombat XL. Number seven, Jurassic World Evolution. One that, of course, was divisive when it came down to review scores. Number eight, Horizon Zero Dawn completed. Edition number nine, Minecraft PlayStation 4 edition, and number 10, Gran Turismo Sport.
Another possible reason for GTA 5, they do support that game ridiculously well.
I guess that there was no big June release. I've been wrong a lot on these lately when we talk about it. I just would have said, oh, well, something new-ish would be up towards the top of that more. Mm-hmm. And I guess God of War is close at number three, but I don't know. I just thought it
was. And Detroit.
Yeah, and number five, but even that, I thought I could. I can see Detroit going either way. Somebody wrote in about, hey, it seemed like Detroit kind of came and went, right? Where people talked about it when it released and then went away. And I was like, well, yeah, that is. I think that's how that kind of game goes. Then over on the PlayStation VR side, nothing really too spectacular to tell you about. Job Simulator, Super Hot VR, Drive Club VR, Rick and Morty Virtual Reality, which I still haven't played, but I have downloaded. Doom, Farpoint, Killing Floor, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, PlayStation VR Worlds, and Moss at number 10. Good for Moss. Here's an interesting one for you. Free-to-play games, number one, H1Z1, number two, Fortnite Battle Royale, number three, Fallout Shelter.
People grumpy about those exclusive downloads, maybe.
Probably has something about you can't connect to everything, but it's interesting that, I guess if you've been playing Fortnite or love Fortnite, you've probably already downloaded Fortnite. But then H1Z1's the new hotness. But then Fallout Shelter, at E3 getting announced during June. So already a ways into June.
But as a potential new Fortnite player, I mean, there's still a lot of people that haven't come in. I'm one of those people. I have not leapt into that with both feet. I'm not going to get a PlayStation 4 Fortnite account. I want to play with my friends.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, about it is I would love to see the mirror reality, right? Where, it's crossplay everywhere. And you bring in that Switch audience that falls in love with Fortnite and wants to play it on their PlayStation. I would probably, because I watch all my Netflix on Fortnite or on PlayStation.
Yeah.
And then when it's like, now it's time to switch over, I want to play Fortnite, turn on the Switch. You know what I mean? We'll see. Number five. Oh, this is from you. Good job.
Yeah.
You added this one in, Jared. This is more Witcher likely coming, and it ain't The Witcher 4. This is via Mike Williams, friend of the show, over at US Gamer. The story of Geralt of Rivia ended with Blood and Wine, the second expansion for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. But that doesn't mean that The Witcher franchise is dead and gone. CD Projekt Red is working on Cyberpunk 2077 at the moment. Here, back to that question too. Time out on the story. Cyberpunk 2077, single player game. How much would you pay for Cyberpunk, you think?
$640.
All right, good. There you go. See, I wonder if they'll do that. Working on Cyberpunk 2077 at the moment. But there's more Witcher in the future, according to CD Projekt Red CEO Adam Sizinski. Just because Geralt is retired doesn't mean the main series is over. Quote, the first three Witchers were by definition a trilogy, so we simply could not name the next game The Witcher 4. This does not mean, of course, that we will leave the world of The Witcher. The Witcher is one of the two franchises on which to build the future activities of the company. Today, unfortunately, I cannot reveal anything more, he said in an interview with Polish outlet Bankier, as translated by Google Translate.
So I wondered if I should put this in or not, because, they're going to make more Witcher stuff. But this isn't coming out and saying, totally part of the plan.
It's interesting. Maybe it's not Geralt, you know what I mean? Exactly. The Witchers are Geralt.
Geralt of Rivia. No, I mean, maybe it's Ciri, maybe it's a completely new character, maybe it's set in that same world in a different time period. There's a lot of different ways to go. They've told Geralt's story. I'm ready to
move on. Did you play all the way through Witcher 3 and love it and all that
stuff? I didn't play all the way through Witcher 3. I love Witcher 3.
Yeah.
I love Witcher 2 even more, actually. Oh, wow. Even though 3 is, I think, objectively probably a better game, 2 had some really brilliant ideas to it. But I really when I say didn't play all the way through, you've got stuff like Blood and Wine and stuff like that's I never got all the way through.
I played 30 hours of it and never got out of Act 1. I enjoyed it. I had a great time with it, but eventually I was like, I just gotta go. Something else came and I was like, this is more for me right now.
There's just so much Witcher. And by the way, I really should just go back and play even more of it, but I'm not 100%ed it. That's what I mean when I say I didn't finish
it. So. And now you got to worry about Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, I do have to worry about Octopath Traveler. Wow, what a dumb name for what a neat game. I'll tell you what.
It stands out. Now we understand, what it is.
We always understood. It's still a terrible
name. Did we understand the eight paths at the beginning? Who knows? You know what I mean?
I want Octopus Traveler. I pitched this to the best friend. I'm just going to make a game about eight different forms of sea life that all have a different storyline. You play them along together. There's a little octopus. There's a little cuttlefish. Okay. A little crab.
Well, shouldn't they all be octopus?
Well, no, it's Octopus Traveler. He's like their leader.
Okay, he's the main story.
Yeah, it's the main story.
Why would I play anybody else's story then? You know what I mean?
Well, because it's eight.
It's like calling it Primrose Traveler, and then there's seven other stories. I'm like, I don't want to play these.
You know what? You're shooting holes in my idea.
Number six. This is a short one. Yakuza on Xbox is more likely than Yakuza on Switch. Over on gameblog.fr, in a translation on Reset Era, Romain Mahut was interviewing the Yakuza producers, and again, it's a translation over there, Romain over there is active on Reset Era. Basically, they want to release Yakuza games on more platforms, but don't think the Switch is a good fit. They think the Xbox One users would probably be more interested in Yakuza games.
Okay.
So there's a future for that off just PlayStation, probably. No surprise. I would love to see them do it on Switch, though.
Oh, yeah. I think a Yakuza game on Switch would be a lot of fun.
I mean, what are you talking about? Come on. I mean, especially when they had... Remember, there was a Yakuza Vita game in Japan that we never got. Do that. Do a smaller story on the Switch or something.
I
want to go around and play with my capsule machines and all that jazz.
Absolutely.
Oh, here's another one. Number 7. This is a Jared edition. Dogs and cats living together. Sonic composer is creating Mega Man music for a Nintendo game. This is from Twinfinite, of course.
That's right.
Jamie Payne writes.
Big Twinfinite.
It looks as though one of the biggest crossovers in gaming history is getting its own crossover. Jun, and then...
Yeah, Jun Senue.
Senue. The composer behind numerous Sonic the Hedgehog...
Senue.
Senue.
Yeah.
Okay. Good Thank enough. You. I'm trying. I want you to teach me. You know Japanese.
No, I don't.
You do.
No, I'm really bad at Japanese.
The composer behind numerous Sonic the Hedgehog titles has arranged brand new Mega Man 4 medley for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate soundtrack. Oh, that is cool. Jun has been providing music for Sonic the Hedgehog games since the Sega Genesis days, starting with Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I just threw this in there because for folks like you and I that grew up during the real console wars.
We've survived and served in the console wars, sir.
The Great War.
Yeah,
the Great War. Back then, when we were there for the Great War, at the thought of even that crossover of Sonic, but the fact that there's a Sonic composer writing a Capcom medley for a Nintendo game is just hilarious.
That's really cool.
It is. I love that. I like that we live in a world where that can happen. Also, Mega Man 4, not the best Mega Man game, but very good music.
What is the best Mega Man game?
The best Mega Man game is Mega Man 9 by Inti Creates.
Okay.
Yeah, which is Mega Man 2 with 30... Jeremy Parrish makes this wonderful point. It's like somebody took Mega Man 2 and looked back at that with 30 years of learning and said, okay, how do we reapply everything we've learned of making good platformers since then to this sterling classic game, and they just nail it.
Good. Yeah. And then another Jared edition, number 8, Overwatch League is coming to ESPN, ABC, and Disney Networks. This is via Brian Bell, friend of the show at Twinfinite. The inaugural Overwatch League season will begin its culmination as the OWL playoffs get underway Wednesday night. But the popular esports league notched another victory hours before the OWL postseason goes live.
Ah, I like that you said OWL. There we go.
I spelled it out the first time so people understood where I was going, and then just went to OWL.
I like that. When I think about OWLs, I think about like the Harry Potter exams.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, ESPN announced a multi-year deal on Wednesday morning, establishing the family of ESPN, ABC, and Disney Networks and streaming services as the exclusive television home for Overwatch League broadcasts, beginning with Wednesday's OWL quarterfinals and continuing through the entirety of the league's second season. Quote, "We've had an interest and have been watching pretty closely how the first year of the Overwatch League has been progressing, and we're really excited to be part of this," said ESPN VP of Digital Media Programming, John Lasker. The agreement will not impact OWL's current broadcasting deal with Twitch. The move is the latest and most beaming signal of the television giant's interest in the esports market. ESPN's previous competitive gaming broadcasts were spread across a wide array of games, including Dota 2, Street Fighter 5, Heroes of the Storm, and League of Legends. Overwatch was also featured previously by Disney as the Overwatch League Contender Series. Essentially, the OWL Minor League was featured on Disney XD last summer.
There we go. It has been a jam-packed news day, my friend.
Good. Yesterday, we were dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today, a lot of stuff. What do you take away from this?
I mean, watching people play video games on ESPN is not currently my idea of a great time, but I recognize that there's a vast section of the population. This is extremely exciting for two reasons. First, they just love watching esports.
Yeah.
And now they're going to get to watch more esports in more places. That's good news for everybody. Second, this kind of complex that the video game industry has, I believe, this desperate desire to be taken seriously.
We need to be on television. If we're on TV, we're mainstream. We're accepted.
Real. Exactly. And I think that that's kind of more our problem than everybody else's. But you know what? We're getting the word out to more people. I'm good with that.
And the cool thing, of course, is opening it up to a mainstream audience that doesn't know what this is. And don't get me wrong, maybe 1% of ESPN's audience that doesn't know it is going to see it and be like, wait, what is this? Hang out and actually care.
Yeah.
Start playing Overwatch or start playing other games.
Now, Chris Antista over at Laser Time makes the point that like sports nerds are just nerds that love a different game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like it's all about stats. It's all about falling. But it's effectively the same kind of stuff we find in video games and love about them. People that love sports love. So the union between these two things in esports makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I'm excited about it. I watch poker on ESPN. Who am I to criticize anything?
Watch
people play cards on television and enjoy it for some reason. So I think that this makes way more sense than that.
Okay. Jared, I'm excited to see how far OWL can go, but we won't know for a while. If I wanted immediate news, like, say, what's out in the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, 20XX on Xbox One, Ghost 1.0 on Xbox One, Super Destroy Not X, no, DX on Xbox One, Warhammer Vermintide 2 on Xbox One, which brings about Mike. Mike writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, KFGD crew. Looking at this week's new releases, I noticed Warhammer Vermintide 2 is set to release on Xbox One. Parentheses, might actually be today. Google is confusing me. It is. Congratulations, Mike. I was wondering if this is on any of the Kinda Funny gang's radar at the moment. I've been playing the game since it released on March on PC, in between formatting Excel pivot tables, and a few friends and I have to say it's a huge amount of fun. We continue to come back to it periodically. I think this would be an ideal party mode game, with which you guys would have a blast. It's basically a high fantasy Left 4 Dead and an high fantasy Left 4 Dead with an emphasis on melee combat and a pretty addicting hero progression system. Thanks for the great slash regular content, which has 100% replaced my use of the stupid car radio." Mike. You're welcome, Mike.
You hurt the car radio's feelings, Mike.
None of us know anything about this game. You know anything about this game?
No, I do not know anything about this. I
mean, when you put Warhammer in the front of any game, I'm like,
saying I know nothing about this game is untrue. Yeah. I'm not intimately associated with it. I know Warhammer stuff actually fairly well, especially in the tabletop world.
Thanks to Anthony Guy, who's painting his little figures.
These games have a high reputation among people. I have played some Warhammer video games. This one's supposed to be wonderful. This is the one about the rats, hence the Vermintide thing.
Sure.
But I'm not.
I'll look into it. We're always looking for good party mode games, Mike, so thanks for tipping us off. I'll give Andy an old yell. Actually, you know what? Everybody tweeted Andy at Maxim Cortez. Hey, why not do a party mode with Warhammer Vermintide 2? We'll look into it. Thanks, Mike. And then, final one for you on today's new stuff, Rocket League is now part of Xbox Game Pass. So go, score some goals, and then come see us at Rocket League's third birthday down at Comic-Con.
Before we move down, I think Super Destroy Not DX might be the most video game name I've ever seen.
Why not, you know?
It's the DX that makes it art.
Of course.
All right, please continue.
New dates for you. Grave Ball is coming out on July 31st on PC. Mother Gunship is coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, July 17th. Code Vein has been delayed to 2019. And then Subnautica is coming to PlayStation 4 this holiday, this year.
Code Vein sounds like a Resident Evil spinoff that should have been on the Dreamcast.
It says something about me, but it makes me think of like a penis.
Does it?
Like the vein and this is in the penis?
Not the like the
veiny
ridges?
Penises? No. Yeah. No. Yep. Time for reader mail, but first I'll tell you about our sponsors, Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets ever. Brooklinen.com is the best, most comfortable sheets, and there's no big markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. I'm one of them. You know, I sleep on Brooklinen sheets because they sent them in. I like them. I got to go mix and match my colors. They look great. You can go look at all the photos of Porty on Instagram in my bed. He's sleeping on them Brooklinen sheets, and we like them. And we like them so much, we strip the bed sheets, you wash them, and then just put them back on. We're not cycling in other sheets. We're just using the Brooklinen
sheets. Just washing them over and over. I got to ask every time. What comes between you and your Brooklinen?
Nothing.
There we go.
Brooklinen won the best of online bedding category from Good Housekeeping. They have versatile colors and patterns you can mix and match to complement any decor. Brooklinen has a deal just for you, folks. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. And the only way to get that $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
Greg, who chooses your Brooklinen at home? Is that you or Jen?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jen doesn't care?
No, she was impressed because I was able to make it match the decor in the room.
Nice.
Because you get to click on the buttons and see everything and do this.
Oh, I love that.
Maniac Levi, parentheses, like the jeans, not the tax thing. Gotcha. Okay. Not a levy. Got it. writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Yo, new listener, first time rider. I love my Switch and I have really been enjoying playing it. But 4 days ago, Nintendo Life ran a story about Switches cracking, presumably because of the batteries expanding in the summer heat. A couple of days before this, I had noticed my casing was a bit loose, and now I've noticed a hairline crack forming near the top vent. Have you guys heard about this? What is a Switch owner to do? Can a system really be considered portable if you cannot leave it in a hot car? And do you think we'll get an official response from Nintendo on this, or am I SOL? Thanks for making my boring week more tolerable. Kind of funny, crew. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I didn't. Not until this question.
No.
I went to Nintendo Life, and yeah, sure enough, they put up an image of, hey, I take really good care of my... It started as a tweet. Hey, I take really good care of my Switch. I noticed this crack. Is anybody else having it? And a whole bunch of responses from people like, yeah, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, the idea driving back at it is that similar to how if you leave a PSP in a drawer, eventually you open up, the battery's like gone all plump and screwed it up. That, yeah, the heat of the summer might be infecting the car.
Well, I certainly don't want to leap in preemptively and be like, and that's what's happening. That, you know,
oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if it does turn out to be an engineering flaw, I mean, they already had one with the left Joy-Con.
Yep.
Remember, the launch left Joy-Cons didn't work. I never replaced mine. It still doesn't work. And I really should do that.
You should.
But I think that Nintendo being Nintendo and looking particularly at the Red Ring debacle,
yeah,
and how that was related to engineering troubles that were probably related to heat and the way they designed the inside of the system, I suspect that they will immediately address this in a redesign and that they will probably quietly replace these as people request it. A lot of people are never going to request it as long as the Switch keeps working, but and anyone who does, I suspect Nintendo has looked at that example from the past and like, yeah, we don't care what it costs us. The last thing we want is these things developing a reputation for unreliability and bad customer service. So let's get them in the hands of our community immediately. That's my suspicion.
Of course. Oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. Hold on.
Nintendo has a lot of pride in their engineering quality, and I suspect strongly that if there's a design flaw, they're going to fix it and they're going to make it right with their customers.
Here we go. So Nintendo Life over here, right? They had put up the thing. They had gotten an update that I was trying to get up here and I didn't get it. Update: Nintendo has responded to our appeal for a statement on the matter. After checking with the European team, we can confirm that we haven't received a notable number of consumer inquiries on this topic. But as with all our products, we encourage users who experience any issues to visit support.nintendo/europe.com for assistance from our customer service team. So you're right that I think Nintendo is awesome with customer service. It would just be a thing of people need to, if you see this, go report it. That,
yeah,
this is a possible thing.
I think so too. And they're not going to make a public statement on it. Again, I don't know this. I can't read their minds, but they wouldn't make a public statement on this unless they had to. What they would do is replace the products.
Yeah. And I think they would if this is a real thing that's going on and all stuff. To your point, though, Maniac, you ask a bunch of questions here, right? So have we heard about it? No, we have. Thanks to you. Thank you very much. What's the Switch owner to do? You're all, if you have this problem, to go report it to Nintendo Service and get out there and be vocal about it. Not be an asshole about it, but be vocal about it.
Yeah.
Can a system really be considered portable if you can't leave it in a hot car?
No, it cannot. I mean, it can be considered flawed and portable. I mean, my Switch is absolutely portable, but
Should be able to leave it in a car that's like, in, you know, 110 degrees or whatever?
I think that a portable system needs to have minimum thresholds of durability that include not melting like a crayon.
Yeah.
I mean, I can leave my DS Lite under a Sherman tank and nothing bad is going to happen to it.
Because so I had a brief moment of fear when I was up in Quebec this past week, because it was a million degrees up there, of course.
Yeah.
And we were driving around, and I had my Switch in laptop in the back seat, in the trunk. I guess, what do you call it? In the trunk of a Jeep, so it's got, you know, angles on it.
Yeah.
And I had it in my backpack in their cases or whatever. So it was this moment of like, Jen was like, do you think it's going to fuck up your... We were already out. It was too late. But like, do you think it's going to fuck up your stuff? And I was like, no. I do remember in the old days, my first ever MP3 player was my PSP.
Okay.
And so I had a whole, Dr. Frankenstein lab there of plugging this PSP in to play any of my music off of it. And I remember leaving that in the sun, and I came back once and the screen was totally splotched with like whatever the stuff that makes the screen go, right? Where it wasn't broken, but it was like it overheated clearly and got all weird on the screen. And I was like, well, that's on me for leaving in direct sunlight in a hot Missouri car in the middle of it.
To a point, there is a point where it becomes on you, definitely. You want to take care of your electronics, but you also have a reasonable threshold to which you can be like, you know what? I left this under the seat in the car on an average day in an Indiana summer.
Yeah.
I should be able to do that with a portable system and it not die.
And that's, yeah, and I'm not saying that's preposterous. Yeah. I did my research of like for laptops pretty much of like, well, you know, the problem with this or whatever. And it was all most laptops for anything current were like, well, no, just don't leave it in like open and direct sunlight. Like, no, the temperatures inside of it are going to get hotter than a car is going to get. So it shouldn't fuck this up.
Exactly. And by the way, this goes way back. The idea that handhelds have vulnerabilities. I mean, the original Game Boy Brick, which is nigh indestructible.
Yeah, there's the one in the museum, right, that got blown apart in Iraq.
Right. But if you leave that sucker in direct sunlight for more than a couple hours, the screen will black out because of the, I think it's the capacitors behind it, will blank.
Yeah.
So even it has an Achilles heel. And we do have to leave some allowance for nature, but I think that in this case, let's wait and see, and let's keep reporting these. I imagine if you come and say, hey, my Switch spontaneously cracked and I didn't do anything, they're just going to replace the thing. If they're not, we ought to be hearing about it and we need to raise a stink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Duruk from Turkey.
Duruk from Turkey. Where's Duruk from Turkey here?
Duruk from Turkey wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's good, Greg and Jerry? I must say, even though I am a huge fan of yours, I was so disappointed by your eagerness for Andrea to spoil Far Cry 5. I love the series and just started Far Cry 5 yesterday. Some people don't just get the games we want to play early for free. This made me think that you really lost touch with the common consumer, Greg. That game isn't even 4 months old yet, and you were so eager to spoil it. Hold on. I can't get any moisture from all the coffee I'm drinking. Just try to remember that some people have to wait for the game to get a discount, to be able to purchase it, and be a little more careful, please. Also, keep fucking that rooster in the butt. Yeah, Jesus, that's gross. You went too far, Daruk. I think you're a little too aggressive, Daruk, but I understand what you're saying. The issue, of course, is that it's not just that I'm trying to protect the person who's buying the game later after the fact or hasn't beaten or is just waiting till I get it for Christmas or something like that. I understand you're out there. Remember, we're trying to make a fun show each and every day that covers a wide range of topics. And, you know, you put in here, where was it here at the end, right? Just try to be more careful. I don't know, Daruk, how much more careful I could fucking be on this issue, seeing as how it wasn't Andrea, hey, Andrea, spoil the game right now. Say it right now. Say the ending right now. It was, hey, Andrea, why don't you spoil the game right now? We have a conversation about it. It clearly was going to be, all right, if she was going to spoil the game, it would have been, all right, I'm going to spoil it now. Look at the time codes Cool Greg writes down for this show. Jump to the next topic, the next segment, the next question. There was plenty of warning. It wasn't like me blurting out right now that, like, I looked it up, that at the end of Far Cry 5, no, I don't know what happened. I don't care that much. I understand, but it is that thing of, you're walking a fine line here of, we're entertainers talking about video games. And don't get me wrong, I've fucked it up a million times where I've said it without any warning of a thing. But then it's also usually, hey, I'm spoiling a game that has been out for quite a while. You're right. Far Cry 5 has not been out that long. Mm-hmm. But I also think it falls into a thing of, for Far Cry 5, for me, the ending, I loved Far Cry 5. You know, I didn't beat it. I enjoyed it. I thought there's too many things coming at me at certain points.
I feel like sorry, I haven't listened to this cast yet.
That's fine.
But I think it's a matter of discretionary service to audience. The fact that we have a broad audience. Mm-hmm. Daruk is correct to point out that not everybody has the same purchasing experience.
Yeah,
and
of
that
course.
Because of what we do for a living, we do tend to play games earlier, along with a lot of folks out there. Other folks play games much later.
Yep.
That actually, before I worked in the games industry, was kind of my pattern in life, was to come back to games when they were cheaper, when they were on sale, and play them that way. And I still do a fair bit of that. But we have to make decisions on when to talk about these things for audience. And I think that Kind of Funny has a pretty well-established record, although we have screwed this up before,
yeah,
of saying, hey, a spoiler is about to appear. Prepare thine ears.
It's just the problem of, and I it's difficult, I guess, of, you say, you know, remember what we're like over here. Well, that's how I feel about movies and stuff, right? And then granted, I'm a person who just doesn't care that much about spoilers. Like, mm-hmm. And so I'm a weird thing. But when I'm listening to a podcast or a conversation with somebody, I know if I want to leave the room, if I want to stop listening, if I want to stop doing that. Like, I feel for most of the time we get into a discussion like this, you see what's ahead on the tracks. The mm-hmm. conversation starts and you're like, oh shit, I haven't beaten this game yet. And I know you're driving, you're doing something else, you're in another tab on your computer. It's not super, oh, well, you're in... I get that you're in your car listening to the podcast. You don't want to, you know, look up the time codes that we've put on the show or done whatever. But it is also the fact of just like, I'm talking about at that point, games that have been out forever, right? And like, I'll spoil something that has been out for years. And people are like, I'll inevitably get a tweet of like, oh, I just got that off PlayStation Plus or this, that, or the other.
It's like, oh. I think I can sum it up for you, Greg, to our audience. Mm-hmm. You tell me if you agree with this.
We hate you.
There is always,
love you very much.
there's always a threat that we will ruin everything.
That's very true. That's very true.
I think that's it.
We try to be good about it, Drew. Sorry that you thought I was out to get you yesterday, but I think we gave you plenty of chances not to be gotten. I'm going to toss to one of you. You put in one from Pickle.
Yeah.
Pickle wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good morning to the beautiful, amazing, renowned, eccentric, extremely enjoyable Kind of Funny crew. Listening to yesterday's podcast, I was intrigued by all the indie titles coming to Switch. And my question is simple. Why do people buy so many games? I've been playing Assassin's Creed Origins, parentheses, Andrea was right, it's amazing, for the last month and have 40 hours on it, parentheses, I have two kids, it's hard to get that game time. I don't think I will be buying anything else this year besides maybe God of War and Dragon Quest XI.
Woohoo!
But my backlog of games is balls deep. I've been slowing down on buying games because I just know that even though I want to play them, I'm never going to get them all. There's only so much time. But I used to buy games on sale and new games and my PS Plus freebies is what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And get games loaned to me. But I would continue to buy new stuff. Why? I have less than 25% of the games I own or even played. Could you try and explain why people continue to buy games? I know I'm not the only one with this problem. If you made it this far, thank you so much for taking time to read my question. I love and respect all of you guys. It's kind of funny. Have a great day. And don't fuck the chicken anymore. Yeah, man. Very graphic about
the
chicken.
Can you just drop the chicken thing? The chicken thing.
No, if you ask them, they're just going to go harder now.
I don't like the chicken thing.
It'll all be about the chicken thing tomorrow.
I don't like it.
Because you're back on the show tomorrow. Now everything's going to be about chicken fucking. Jared. Why do people buy all this stuff?
Several reasons. You and I buy a lot of games, largely because it's our jobs, sure. And because we need to remain reasonably on top of what's going on around us. But also a couple other reasons. One, it's that old adage of voting with our wallets. We're mm-hmm. sending our money toward things that we want to exist.
Right.
I mean, there is some of that. People in this community will buy games that they might not play for months, even years, just because they want that kind of game to exist.
Yep.
And they want to back it. That's one thing. Second, and maybe even more important, buying games is fun.
Sure.
Buying things,
the excitement.
Buying things is fun.
Yeah.
And that's a fundamental cornerstone of marketing, that it is an enjoyable act to purchase something new and desirable. Even if you don't necessarily get the joy out of it you thought you would, it's still a lot of fun to get something new and shiny and bring it home.
Yeah.
Even a digital purchase, just seeing it there on the drive, seeing it download, and oh, that's cool. Having it up on your shelf, oh, that was fun. A day later, do you regret that? Probably not, but you may never touch it again either.
Yeah.
And I think it's some of that excitement. Those are three reasons that I come at immediately. Fourth, more basic, because some people play a lot of games.
Yeah.
More than others, or some people play long games for short periods. I mean, the games you listed there, God of War, Dragon Quest XI, long games.
Yeah.
If he's going to play all of those games and nothing else, then he's going to get a ton of entertainment. If he's going to play 5 hours of those games and he buys 20 games like that, which is what some people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another possibility.
Yeah. I think some of it comes down to our industry being so hyped based and always excited about the next thing. So it's like, it's so easy with movies, right? Of like, mm-hmm. it's 2 hours of your commitment. So you want to be there on opening night and you want to be ready to go. But even then, there's barriers to entry to that opening night thing, right? Select number of seats, select number of showings. If you can get the babysitter, if you can get out where you are, are you on a business trip? Are you not even at your local theater where you want to go? Games don't have that barrier, right? On some sides, the time commitment's way worse. But the fact is, you can buy it anywhere. You can have it shipped to your house. You can buy it anywhere and bring it home. You can play it on the go, depending on what game it is, all these different things. And so as September 7th gets closer and fucking closer, and Spider-Man gets more and more out there, it's like everybody wants to play Spider-Man. We all want Spider-Man on day one just to have it ready to go when we're ready to go for it.
And and tying into that is the fact that video games, unlike movies or television, are a technology-based industry, mm-hmm. which means that every year, the new games look better, sound better,
right.
Do new things, innovate in gameplay. There's always some technological, and that's been going on since they became a commoditized product in the 1970s, and it's still a part of the culture.
Yep.
So that also adds to that.
I think that's why. And we just, we get so excited and so hyped that when it's finally here, when that release date finally happens, you have to have it on day one just because you want to have it because you've been waiting for years to get it, and there it is. And then
that said, before I did this for a living,
yeah,
I'm extremely frugal. I don't buy a lot.
Yeah.
And I waited for games to be on sale. And I waited for games to be used.
Yeah.
And I only bought a few of them at a time. And I totally think that that actually, for many, many people, makes much more sense.
Oh, sure. Yeah, totally. 100%. But you want to be part of that zeitgeist. You're all there. We're, you're listening to these podcasts. We're all excited about what Valkyria Chronicles 4. You better fucking buy Valkyria Chronicles 4 on the first day.
But like,
we need more Valkyria Chronicles. God damn it.
Like, if Pablo Bin Jump folded tomorrow
yeah.
and I didn't work
oh,
here
sure,
anymore,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would totally like just be scraping free games
wait
off
the
internet.
Wait for the bargain
bins.
Yeah, the Steam sales, all that jazz. Time, Jared, to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Taylor needs help IRL. He gives off his username which or on Twitter, which is at Taylor, B-I-S-H-A-L-O-N. Again, it'll be in the description.
Wait, is it Taylor Bishal O-N, or is it Taylor Bishal on Twitter?
Good question. No, you're right. It's Taylor Bishal. Drop the O-N. Good call. Good call. I thought all I was right. running over into
no
it.
No problem.
T-A-Y-L-O-R-B-I-S-H-A-L. Good call. Good call.
No problem.
He says, what's up, KFGD hosts and best friends? I'm traveling to Tampa this weekend for Guardian Con, but am without my fire team. Was hoping to meet up with any best friends attending Guardian Con or the local Tampians. Tampites? Tampians? Tampchans?
Tampons?
Hit me up, oh God, on Twitter at Taylor, B-I-S-H-A-L, for some of that sweet, sweet Gambit gameplay. Let's raise some money for Little Lights at St. Jude. If you're going to Guardian Con, everybody, hook up with Taylor.
Head down to Tampa. Represent Tampa St. Pete.
Tampa.
You know what? Tampa St. Pete, interesting place.
Yeah?
Yeah, I used to go to Guavaween there. They like fence off several blocks of the city on Halloween night.
Okay,
like
okay.
Six stages going.
That's cool.
Really good cigars in Tampa.
Oh, yeah, of course. Come yeah. on now. You're so
neat
close
place.
To
Ybor
yeah.
City.
Jared, you texted me this morning a required reading. A rotating segment where we tell you to go read stuff. The article is from Engadget, written by Jessica Condit. The title, Mobile Gaming Titans Keep Ripping Off Indies. Here, I'm going to read you a segment. Financially, Voodoo is crushing it. And this is the mobile company they've been talking about throughout the beginning of the article, the intro. But in the eyes of many independent developers and their fans, Voodoo is a shady beast constantly hunting for scraps of game ideas that it can quickly transform into profit. Take one of Voodoo's latest titles, for example, Hole.io. Players control holes in the ground that grow bigger as they consume objects on a city street. It's a simple, clever idea, but it didn't come from Voodoo. Ben Esposito is a Los Angeles game developer who's made a name for himself working on indie hits like The Unfinished Swan and What Remains of Edith Finch.
Shout out.
Great stuff, yeah. His latest project is Donut County, a game in which players control a hole in the ground that grows bigger as it eats the surrounding environment.
So I really want to encourage people to read this entire article.
It's good.
Okay, because it does provide a lot of context. For example, just this excerpt makes it sound like Voodoo is very deliberately doing this. But when you go read on a little further, it's like, well, actually, Voodoo has a submission process where people pitch betas of potential mobile games to them, and then they choose from those.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be that like Voodoo went out and...
Oh, yeah, they're like, they're at PAX. Like, because that's why Donut County's in here. It was getting pitched around forever, or seen forever.
And
PAX.
It may be that somebody else cloned it, pitched the clone to them, and
yeah.
they're not even aware that this other game, Donut Town, was even out there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's a more complicated process than it's just like, here's a big, giant company exploiting somebody. It's a very complicated story, but what it boils down to for me is a tension between quick thrown together for a buck games, which by the way, sometimes I really enjoy.
Sure.
And somebody taking the time to craft a fantastic, immersive, lovingly laid piece of art that may never make nearly the money they need to even produce something like that because they're by the time they bring their idea to fruition, because of the necessity of marketing a single player game, or marketing a crafted game and letting people see what it is before it comes out,
yeah.
they might find their game duplicated before it ever goes to market and miss out on both the credit and the money that they could get from that.
Yeah.
It's a great article. Folks need to read it.
Great read. Everybody check it out. Engadget, the title is Mobile Gaming Titans Keep Ripping Off Indies. Jared,
yes,
we
sir.
Ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening later on podcasts and watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. looking here for the 11th because I forgot to clear this out today like a bad boy. I'm a bad boy. Okay.
You know,
I got it.
You're
a
good boy. You're a good boy.
Capitalist Pig chimes in and says the total total current gen consoles sold. The number as of early 2018 of PS4, Switch, and Xbox One sold floats between 120 and 130 million units.
Okay.
Number's hard to say since Microsoft doesn't really give numbers. Here we go. Kebab says the name of the character Ellie kisses is called Dina. She's played by Shannon Woodward, who plays Elsie Hughes on... Yeah, Hughes. Hughes. On Westworld. D-I-N-A. That's how you'd say it. Dina, right?
Like Dina. Yeah.
Okay. Kebab says, Nadia, you're wrong. I'm skipping that. Thanks.
Why is it there?
Exactly.
Kebabs. You know better than that.
Don't care about this. No, you're all joking around.
All right. Gotta get here.
A lot of people trying to be funny people out here.
Look at it. Try the humor. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate your investment, your involvement, the fact that you want to be a part of what's going on. But if we're going to give you a good, you're wrong segment, we need you to focus on what we're doing wrong. Otherwise, we're standing here doing this. We don't want to do this.
You're chilling.
You don't want us doing this. It's just this part of the show where I'm just babbling incoherently, which is not all that different from any other part of the show where I'm talking, granted. All right,
pretty clean episode. A lot of people trying to editorialize and stuff. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe. Now, here's where I would say... Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. Something's happening.
Oh, what's going on?
Cool Greg's sitting back down.
Cool Greg's sitting back down.
We'll be back tomorrow with Jared. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you. See, they ran away right at...